Now I face out, I hold out, I return to the truth of my life, seeking the seas on the whole moment to now break away. Oh God, let me out, can you let me out, can you set me free from this dark in the world, save me the last bit in the soul.
Hey guys, welcome to the Gamer Horizon. Oh wait, this is not the After Hours podcast. This is a brand new podcast that you guys are probably getting on your podcast feeds. All of a sudden, Friday morning, this is Alex, and with me, joining me on this brand new podcast is, wait for it.
It's Anthony.
Yep. I was going to introduce you, asshole, but I guess you just had to preempt me. So how you been, dude? How is it going?
It's been a long time since our last podcast. We've been through, the last year has been pretty crazy, personal-wise mostly, but it's been quite the adventure.
And lo and behold, you have a shitty microphone again. Thanks for breaking the microphone that I bought for you. That was only $150, by the way.
I told you I didn't break it, though.
What happened? Explain it yourself.
Okay, so the old mic that we used in the old podcast was just stopped working. And I took care of that thing. Alex gave me this whole setup that had like a stand and baggy and all this good shit. And a pop filter. But what happened? I don't know why. I always put it in the little baggy because it was a full set, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just stopped working. And then I double checked cords and wasn't the cord.
Can I venture to guess why it broke?
Go ahead.
Your son peed on it.
That's old school, bud.
Totally old school. But as you guys can have realized now, Anthony and I are back to take another crack at this whole gaming podcast thing. But I think we'll be a little bit more loose. We'll talk about some other stuff too, but primarily this will be a video game podcast, just like the usual. And right on time for yet another Final Fantasy 13 sequel.
It's 2 years ago all over again.
Hooray. Yeah. The expression in my face is just kind of like this expression of sarcasm and just like, really? We're doing this again? Yep, I guess we are. And it just so happens that, let me get this out first. It's already been officially a year since the Gamer Horizon website actually like launched and stuff. Like, the whole crew with everything, with Ari and Ted. And of course, Sean was like our new addition and stuff. Of course, Chris joined us as well. And you were there, too. And, it's really exciting because, we have a lot of kind of, really neat things in store. And I've been incubating a lot of ideas and stuff, especially since, I knew that we were going to collaborate again with, a specific podcast just for, for you and I and stuff, to just kind of host. And, we'll see, what the future of After Hours is. But I think After Hours is uniquely for the crew. So this is our soapbox. This is you and me and kind of back to our old shenanigans again.
And that's the way it should be, arguing about Final Fantasy 13, which won't happen until next week.
When is Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns comes out?
The 11th.
Of February.
Yeah, so next week.
Okay. In case you guys are also wondering why, Anthony is pretty late when it comes to his responses, it's because, of course, this wouldn't be a podcast with Anthony without any sort of technical limitations, hurdles, and what have you. And we've kind of decided to make this a little bit more raw than usual.
Indeed. Not a whole lot of editing. Hey, my videos had a lot of technical issues and I got 5,000 subscribers. So,
yes. expect that this is going to be a lot more regular. I mean, this is going to be a little bit more, personal, and this is going to be a lot more towards you guys, we're calling this podcast not TPPPG, not After Hours, but Social Link. And, so how did we come up with that name? Do you remember?
Well, we were struggling with names, and then I kind of came up with the idea, Screw Attack, the website, took the Screw Attack from Metroid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why don't we take something from a game that you and I absolutely adore? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of few. Well, that's not few and far between, but we're pretty. We have different tastes. That's one thing that's known. But there's one game that has been common since the beginning of our friendship, and one game series, and that's the Persona series.
Mm-hmm.
And I told and Alex and we, so we came up with, you know, something with Persona, and then we of course took socials from it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it, so, you know, it wasn't enough that that worked. Like, the domain had to be available. So basically, like, you know, like, if we wanted to buy the domain name and stuff, like, and we wanted to point it to the website and stuff, like, you know, we had to be able to buy it. So that's why we named our new podcast The Social Link, or Social Link. You know, I think that's the more simpler name. And then, of course, Anthony is like, how about Gamer Horizon Presents Social Link with Alex and Anthony? I'm like, dude, before you could even see, like, the episode name, you'd, you know, like, it'd be, yeah, it would probably, like, not even show up on people's iPhones and whatnot. So probably not that long. But although it was really cool suggestion, though, like, I really like that. Gamer Horizon Presents Social Link. But Social Link, yeah. I think it's fine. And we will have our own feed.
Yes, we will. Social Link is awesome. And if you don't mind me chiming in, because I talked to you about this, I am not only working on this podcast, but I'm also working on another podcast. And we kind of agreed to kind of cross-promote, if you don't mind. We recorded a few of the episodes. I'm in the process of editing. I'm working on getting a domain, you know, getting it up on iTunes by the end of the month, the first episode of this next podcast. I got together with a couple of my buddies, you know, that live in the same vicinity of mine, one I've known my whole life, and we're big comic book guys, and we're doing a comic book podcast called Lids Off the Long Box. Lid Off the Long Box.
Okay.
So
it's a very interesting name. Like, what's the origin of that name?
We were struggling, like you and I were, and I have my long box in my room always open, and one of the guys looked at it and he said, why don't we do Lid Off the Long Box?
That is a very catchy name.
And it's pretty cool. And and the thing is I checked, domain's not taken, hell yeah, and I, you know, researched all that like you told me to, so we're all good. And that's the official name.
Now, you know what's going to be funny,
and
is
as of Monday that domain will be purchased.
Well, you know, it's funny. After we launch this podcast, people are probably going to buy the domain that we just mentioned.
Oh, shit.
I haven't purchased it. I won't be able to purchase it until next weekend. Like, we're talking, like, you know, Valentine's Day weekend, so.
I won't be able to buy mine till Monday.
Oh, shit. Well, this is coming out tomorrow, so, uh-oh.
Yeah. Fuck you if you still...
Yeah, screw you.
But then again, how many comic book fans listen to this podcast?
Well, it's not just that. It's also our podcast, too, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Actually, now I'm curious, because, like, now I want to see, like, if our domain name is actually taken and stuff. But anyway, so why are we doing this again, Anthony? Like, I mean, that's the big question, right? Like, why are we trying this again? Because, like, the past few years and stuff, we've been kind of starting podcasts and then ending them again, and then starting things and then ending again. Like, are we ever going to see this one through this time around?
I believe we will. Here's the thing. A lot of misconceptions is that you and I have had falling outs, which if we did, we would have had about six of them by now.
I know, right?
But yeah, about six or seven. What often ends up happening, if you want to go back to the TPP days, that ended because of your personal issues, which had nothing to do with me, and that, and games and me going to new ownership, which we saw what happened with that.
Right.
And then with Gamer Horizon Season 1, just scheduling schedules, and you kind of lost interest in gaming a little bit and things like that, and we're like, we'll hold it off for a while, and we'll come back. Last year, we attempted to do it, and I'll be honest, there were a couple things going. To me, when I do a podcast with Alex in particular, it should just be, and I'm being blunt here, I like the rest of the Gamer Horizon crew, although I don't know Sean, you know, but when Alex and I do a podcast, it should just be Alex, because there's a certain thing that works.
Yeah, so...
And when we tried it...
Yeah, so basically, like, just to kind of clarify again, none of the crew is actually showing up here regularly or anything of that nature. I don't even have them booked in any sort of guest spot or whatsoever. This is primarily mine and Anthony's podcast. If you want to listen to the rest of the crew, the After Hours podcast is regular.
Right. Right. Like I said, I like those guys. It didn't work well because of scheduling issues. And the big scheduling issue is, here's the thing. I'm an hour ahead of Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to schedule four people, even though four of those people are in the same time zone with me, is a clusterfuck, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because, like, you know, Ari is like, well, can we be, like, guests on, like, the new podcast? I'm like, did you not remember what happened the last time, dude? Like, did you completely, like, forget, like, what happened the last time? Yeah, the answer is no.
No. And again, you know, nothing against those guys, but... And I said that about seven times. I just want to emphasize that. I Ari's really cool and such, and Ted is, and so was Chris, and Sean, I don't know, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you know, and then I ended up leaving Gamer Horizon because I was even writing articles at that point, but I had to leave due to personal issues. Alex and I actually didn't talk for 2 months just because I was working a night job, and that's when Alex usually called me,
mm-hmm.
and I had a lot of things going on, and you were really busy because that was when the website was really starting to take off, and...
Mm-hmm.
And then we started getting in contact again, and everything started to mesh. And then we said, why don't we fucking do it again?
Mm-hmm.
And even you left Gamer Horizon for a little bit, and we started talking.
Yeah. I mean, I that's something that I'll talk to you about, like, you know, once we get into what you've been playing and stuff, which, of course, comes back in this episode and all subsequent episodes of The Social Link. I was kind of busy last year because I, you know, work, as you guys probably don't know this, all of the crew of the Game Horizon podcast actually and website actually don't earn money by working on Game Horizon. We actually are doing this voluntarily out of our own pockets and, you know, just to kind of maintain the, you know, the quality of the website and all the articles and whatnot. I mean, we're going to try to introduce some kind of cool things so you can kind of come back to it. But if you really want to support us, just, you know, visit our website, turn off your ad blockers, we try to have, like, unobtrusive ads and stuff all over the place, you know, support us that way. Listening to our podcast really helps, but really, like, we actually get a lot of help just by, with you guys, like, commenting on our website and reading our articles and, you know, kind of sharing it on your, you know, your social networks and stuff. So any of those things... You know, we offer this for free. Again, we deal with our works with our work every single day, and we try to make like the best website and, you know, podcast experience as possible. So, and if you've been here like ever since the beginning, thank you very much. And hopefully, like, you know, we can see, you know, like the website grow within the next few months and stuff, just at how it's been over the past year or so, you know.
And I know people who have been with us since the very, very beginning mm-hmm. that will listen.
Yeah.
And
one of the things that I wanted to kind of give out is, since this is called The Social Link, we do have an email address for you to email us. And you can email us. We'll feature a lot of video game related questions, not so much the other stuff that we want to talk about. But, you know, if you do have, like, any other questions, just, you know, send it to us. And if it's interesting enough, we'll read it on the air, you know? The email address is sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. Pretty easy to remember, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, send it to us.
What is that again, Anthony? What's the email address?
Send it to us. I did not catch it. I was listening, but I didn't catch it.
This is a problem already. If my freaking co-host doesn't even know what the freaking email address to our podcast is, it's sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com.
There we go, and I'll get emails and I'll read them.
Okay, say that again. What is it?
sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com.
Okay, fantastic. So let's get right down to brass tacks, shall we? What have you been playing?
Holy fucking balls. Okay. So, real quick background. I kind of, at this moment of time, I'm kind of getting back into console gaming. As you know, I've kind of forsaked it for the longest time.
Okay.
So, I've been on this adventure of handheld games. I mean, everything from Pokemon Y to the Zelda to fucking, you know, all kinds of stuff. I want to talk about two brief things real quick, okay? Well, one very brief thing and one a little long, okay? So the brief thing is one game that we talked about a lot since season one, which was 2 years ago, since it came out, was Pinball Arcade, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now they keep they're just pumping out fucking releases. And I bought season passes, so on the Vita version and the PlayStation 3 version, because if you buy one or the other, you get both versions, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You get I got in every pinball board release.
Jeez.
I think that equates to about, there have been 20 packs with two and a couple special packs with one. So I think there are about 42 pinball boards.
My God.
Now, when you and I first talked about this, how many were there?
Mm-hmm.
Four, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The original four were Ripley, Believe It or Not, Black Hole, Arabian Nights, and Theater of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you were not a fan of Theater of Magic, but you liked Arabian Nights.
You know what's funny is that opinion changed last year when I actually played the Theater of Magic live, like in person. Like, remember I was talking to you, like, wait, did I actually talk about this on the podcast last year?
I don't think so. No. This was way after you went to the pin. Is it when you went to the Pinball Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Okay. No, you never have. Not with me anyway on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I actually really like it. It's a high scoring game. It's fairly tricky. It's not really that difficult, but it is like, it was really addicting. And I actually got like a couple of my friends who were with me. I was there for a bachelor party. I got them really hooked on it, and they bought it, you know, they bought like Pinball Arcade, of course, on their, you know, on their Android phones and stuff. And they started playing, of course, Theater Magic since it came in for free. So yeah, you managed to not only convert me technically, but I also managed to convince two of my friends as well.
So Theater of Magic, I don't know, since you've changed your opinion, how do you think it works thematically for you?
Thematically, it's not really, I mean, it works with the gameplay. And you know me, like, I am really a stickler for gameplay, you know? I think the different magic tricks that you can do with it, like, really kind of make it a really interesting kind of pinball game. You know, like, when you hit the box or something like that, the one on the top left corner, and it rotates, and you can actually shoot the ball in there, and then it disappears and stuff. It's a really interesting mechanic. And like I said, like, I do appreciate the fact that, you know, like, Pinball Arcade has, like, those kind of tutorials on how to make the pinballs work, because, you know, that's one thing that arcades in general, like, kind of lacked, is kind of like an instruction manual on how to play. You know, most of the time you just kind of had to feel it out and stuff and to kind of discover, which, you know, that was the magic of playing a Theater Magic in person. You know, like, there was no manual or anything. There were, like, little, like, index cards that kind of described, like, how the game played, but I, you know, they're too small and they were in pink, like, marker, so I couldn't really read it. And, you know, the guy who runs it, he's a real stickler when it comes to, like, the feel of, like, arcades and stuff. So everything was in the dark. It's just, you know, the light from the pinballs, like, kind of giving light to the place. And it's really, you know, it's really authentic and it's really awesome. And he's doing this, like, as a non-profit. So, I mean, it's really amazing. But yeah, I mean, Theater Magic was fun. I haven't been playing it because, you know, I've been playing other games, but I would definitely play it in a heartbeat if I felt like it.
Yeah, and you got it portable, so.
Yeah, I have it on I have it on my Vita, I have it on my iPad, and I do have it on my iPhone. So I have it on like three different platforms.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's the thing too. I'm so glad that you like Theater of Magic, because that one I still go to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're kind of Theater of Magic's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So. But like I said, there have been since another, you know, approximately 42 boards released.
Gosh.
So,
let's, you know, let's not go through that, please.
No, we're not going to go through. No. We're not going to go through what I'm going to say, considering that there have been 42 of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, there have been some that have been my, you know, taken my favorites. One of the earlier ones released was, was The Machine Dry the Pinball. I love that one. That's one of my favorites.
Okay.
I think Attack from Mars is another one. And Cactus Canyon I love. That's a really good one I've been playing. And then Cue Ball Wizard, which just came out last week, I think, on the Vita.
Right.
Which Cue Ball Wizard and El Dorado City of Gold, they're basically the season finales of season 2.
Right.
And Cue Ball Wizard's a lot of fun. It's got good mechanics. What's cool about it is it really captures the feel of playing pool while playing a pinball game.
Right.
And not only are you playing pool, the atmosphere also has that feel of the pool sharks around you and that type of thing.
Right.
So I can't really go deep in the rules, but it's pretty cool. So that's been my constant one is Cue Ball Wizard right now.
Right. Okay.
And then a couple honorable mentions. I like, because I'm kind of a Star Trek guy, like The Next Generation, which is thematically one of the best pinball games I've ever played.
Right.
And Terminator 2 is not bad either. So,
right.
So, you got a good selection. And then they've already announced Pack 21 and Pack 22, and Season 3 has been announced on Steam. So, they're going to continue on.
Nice.
So by the time we get it with 30 boards, we're going to have up to over 60 boards in there.
Interesting.
So I think Foresight has so far accomplished their goal, and it looks like they're going to keep going at it by preserving pinball, which is unnecessary. Because, you can find them in Vegas, but you can't find them here in Pueblo where I live. So.
Right.
So for us small town folks, it's pretty necessary.
Okay.
So I've just been playing different boards, so that's what I've been playing, mostly on the Vita. I prefer, the Vita version feels more responsive than the PS3 version. Don't know why. It just does. So that's that. And then moving on the Vita, I've been playing Yi's Memories of Salsetta, which has been my big game.
Interesting.
So are you a big... You a big Yi's fan, Alex?
I've never been. I mean, it's, the way that you describe it seems really it's still rooted in its classical roots, classical gameplay roots, and I would just probably be frustrated if I played the game.
Okay, so what do you mean classical?
Well, just the way that the gameplay is, the way that you've described it to me before, seems very much rooted in the older games and the way that they play it, like the older kind of Yi's games and stuff. Like, I remember you describing how it's played, and I'm kind of very kind of not sold on the idea of playing it.
Okay. Well, Yi's is one of those series that if you don't enjoy right away, you're not going to enjoy it, I don't think. So,
I'm not saying have them change the formula. I'm just saying, it's not for me. From what you described it to me, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, exactly. I know you said that, and I agree. I think it's a very classically type thing, and it has some, things that it needs to update. But that's the thing with it, is, that's why I love it. And I think they've made some changes in the series. I think they're carrying over a mechanic that they brought over from Yi-7 to Yi's Memories of Salsetta. And what that is the party. You actually have a party in this.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting about party is it's very, I think, one of the best modern-day comparisons would be Trine. The Trine games?
Right, okay.
Unlike Trine, though, all three characters are in, the playfield. And what's cool about it, this is what I think Yi-7, Yi's Memories of Salsetta really might break it for people who have reservations towards the old one, is you switch out party members for different situations. So you got one character, Adol, you got his partner, who's kind of like a boxer-type character. He takes out kind of the hard, rock-type guys. And then you usually have another character that, that third character switches out depending on the story. So you go to one village, you have her for a little bit, she leaves, then you go to the next village and this other dude joins.
Okay.
And then so on and so forth. But you always have those main two, Adol and his partner. And it's really neat because you know, in combat situations, Adol is not the one that you always want to use. You want to switch out to that other guy.
Interesting.
Because Adol cannot, yeah, for example, you're fighting enemies with a shell on them. Adol's sword is not going to fucking break into him. It's not going to fucking cut into him. But you switch to his partner, he'll punch him, knock him over, then Adol can do the damage to him.
That's interesting. That reminds me of the Devil May Cry game that was released last year. There are only certain kinds of weapons that can hit certain enemies in certain angles, and you have to hit them that way in order to kind of, like, you know, expose their weak point, and that's when you can use, like, you know, your regular sword and gun in order to kind of defeat them. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, it really, and combat's intense. Now, I have Devil May Cry now because of PlayStation Plus. Mm-hmm. But what I haven't played it. But it does sound, you know, combat does play kind of, sounds like a little bit of a similar thing. And that's what I really like about Ease. And then there's that third element, that third character, which really, because what's interesting is that third character does not stay a constant. That third character changes.
Right.
So what's interesting is the first character you get is this girl. She's kind of the daughter of a chieftain in the forest. And she throws knives. And what's really neat is the dungeon that you explore with her, you actually have to switch with her to solve some of the puzzles. So for example, you're in this dungeon, and you have to throw the knives to cut down these blocks so you could pass.
Right.
So the dungeon design is really good because it's designed with her in mind. And then you get an item, and that item is built with that item. It's like kind of the Zelda formula. And then each dungeon builds upon it, but what's interesting is, unlike Zelda, which builds only with one item in mind, it builds upon the different party member you have and the new item you get in the dungeon. Does that make sense? I hope.
It does. It totally makes sense. It's actually really, really interesting of a game. It's just, it's too bad it's Yees. I'm not into Yees. Ugh.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yees is one of those, you know, it's not for everybody, but I absolutely love it. And I think of all the Yees games too, what's interesting, and I'll touch on this briefly because I want to get to you, is the character development. We actually, Adol is kind of like this character who, he's kind of a James Bondish type character for the most part.
Right.
Where each story, he kind of gets the ladies, and you don't know a whole lot about his past. Well, the basic gist of this game is he goes into this forest and he loses all his memory, except for, like, basic functions, obviously, you know?
Right.
And what happens is he has to gain all his memories. And it's not only the memories of what happened in the forest, it's his whole past. So it's optional to go and look for some of the memories, but you learn things about his past. Like, there's one memory where, you know, it talks about how he got beat up by these kids and how he, you know, it only motivated him to be stronger. And then he had a talk with his father who, you know, was talking about, I think they're like carpenters or something like that.
Right.
And how Adol could be more than that. And that kind of made him, you know, turn into the adventurer he is. So Adol's backstory isn't like, oh, there's a deep, dark secret or my parents died, I want revenge. It's all these little things, like these little slice of life things that build up to what he wanted to become. Which is very relatable because that's what often happens to us,
right? Of course,
you know, most, yeah. So I'm really enjoying this game, and I think story wise, it's one of the best. And I recommend it if you're looking for a good solid action RPG, you know, and you have just the Vita, I would get Yees Memories of Self Data. If you have a 3DS, get Zelda and Memories, Yees Memories of Self Data. So.
Well, I've heard a lot of really good stuff about Bravely Default, and actually at some point I'm actually planning to get a 3DS XL because my 3DS unfortunately conked out. But that's one game that I'm actually looking forward to, and that might kickstart me, like, you know, back into gaming again, is Bravely Default. I've heard nothing but good things about that game.
I hope to get it tomorrow.
Is it out?
I believe it is out. I believe it came out Tuesday. Let me check. I do believe it is out.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, I don't get paid until next week, so that might be my first purchase of this year. I mean, I know that there's another game that I'm kind of forgetting that's coming out, like, in February, but I'm definitely... I mean, there's also, you know, there's also Infamous, but I don't know. Like, I want to save this for a future conversation, like, maybe next week, but I'm not inclined to get a PS4 right now.
Me neither. I'm not going to get one for a while. I've got a lot of stuff that's going to keep me busy on my PS3.
And I'm going
to have some Final Fantasy.
Exactly. And even though Ground Zeroes is coming out, like, in March, it's like, for $30, that's still a little bit too expensive for 2 hours of gameplay, but I don't want to get into that. Like, that could be a conversation for a future podcast, you know?
Not buying it. We'll leave it at that. So, unless it drops to, like, $7 in a couple
months.
That's
why I'm waiting until, like, you know, until later in the year to get it. Because there's no rush. Like, yay, I'm not the first person. I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, I run a video game website and I'm not one of the first people to play it. But, you know, it's... We have to like, fight our battles, you know, in terms of, like, what we're getting. And I do, you know, I am still getting the South Park game this March. So, I mean, that is the big one that I'm actually, like, looking forward to.
Yeah. The big one I'm looking forward to is... And again, their HD remake, so of course, is Tales of Symphonia for me, which I'll be talking about soon, because I'm super pumped for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm also... That new Ninja Gaiden kind of interested me.
Yaiba Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah, that looks interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait until that drops in price, too.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on that, but we may see.
Yeah.
Back to Bravely Default real quickly, though. I am incorrect. It is not out now, but it will be out in a few hours. So it comes out tomorrow, actually.
Digitally?
I believe, yeah, both. Digitally and...
Damn. And Nintendo has some really weird, like, release dates. I mean, not Tuesday, but Sunday or Friday or what have you.
It seems like what's weird is, it seems like now they're... For years, they did all Sundays, but here's the bizarre part. They switched over in the last couple years or so to Fridays, which is, I guess, okay. That's fine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They switched to Fridays, and then what was weird was you got Mario and Zelda on the same day, which is cool. That's a good day. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But they released Pokemon X and Y on a Sunday.
Yeah. Which I'm kind of a little bit curious about that, but I'm not.
Okay. But you know, it's just a little odd. But we've got a good one coming. So what have you been playing? Let's get to that.
I'll be honest. I have been out of video games for about 2 months, and it's mainly because, like, I'm kind of been burnt out by work. So I've been trying to find, like, other avenues. So I've been kind of indulging a lot in board gaming, and because of that, a lot of the video games that I'm playing are actually somewhat puzzly or related to board games. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, Anthony, but if you remember last year, around this time, we talked about a game called The Room on iOS.
Yes, we did, I think so, yeah.
Did you know that the sequel is out?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it's out. And it's really awesome.
Oh. Okay, so I vaguely remember The Room. Refresh me just really quick.
The Room is basically this game
I know we talked about it.
Yeah, well, basically this game is, you know, like, the way that it works is that you're this kind of mysterious person who got a mysterious box from a mysterious uncle. you get the gist. It's a mysterious game. And your objective is to basically try to figure out, like, the contents of the box. And you do that by kind of examining the box using different tools to kind of open it up. But every single time you open it up, something smaller comes out that's also just as complicated as the one before. Now, there's basically, like, the first game does connect with the second game right away. So I would recommend playing the first game first before the second game. Because one of the things that they do differently in the second game is not only do you have that object to kind of deal with, but there are elements of the room that you have to deal with as well. So in other words, it's not just the box that you have to open up now, but there's also aspects of the room that have puzzle elements in it as well. But it's not as crazy as something like The Seventh Guest, where you're exploring a whole mansion and you really don't know what the hell you're doing. This is more concentrated
Or Mist.
It's more concentrated towards, like, maybe two or three different hotspots. And I use that loosely. When I mean hotspots, I mean different objects you can interact with, not literally, like, the things you can click in a, you know, in an object. Because if you want to talk about that, there's, like, dozens and dozens, usually, for one item. And I'm almost at the end. That was the one that I was playing religiously prior to this other game that I've been playing. And since you have an iOS device, you should probably get this so we can play. It is a game based off of 2012's Lords of Waterdeep, the board game. Now,
oh shit!
Have you heard of it?
I remember Lords of Waterdeep. Yeah, I never got the chance to play it.
Like as a board game or as an iOS?
As a game? Board game. Okay. As a board game.
Mm-hmm. So it's $6.99 for both iPhone and iOS. It's a universe. iPhone and iPad, excuse me. And it's great. It plays exactly like the game. And what's really cool is they really kind of captured the gameplay of it. And they even added, like, you know, animations to the actual board, so it'll look like a living board. And those small kinds of, like, you know, touches, like, really kind of make the game, like, well worth, you know, playing and stuff. And I'm playing it with my friend right now, and I set it to like 45 days expiration because we're doing the whole asynchronous gameplay kind of thing. So
kind of like Scrabble.
Yeah.
The Scrabble.
Or Words with Friends.
Okay.
So okay. But it's really awesome.
When I get my money, I will buy it.
Yeah. And then you should add me on there. And if you guys want to play against me or, you know, on this game, it's being made by Playdeck, and there's a game actually that they're trying to kickstart. Let me see if I can find that on Kickstarter. Playdeck is Playdeck actually has this game that they're trying to kickstart called Unsung Story: Tale of the Guardians, and that Kickstarter is actually, you know, I mean, other than it's being developed by Playdeck, Yasubi Matsuno is actually designing the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And not only that, Akihiko Yoshida, who basically designed the characters in Bravely Default, is doing the artwork for this as well. So this isn't a small deal. This is actually a really big deal. And unfortunately, by the time this comes out, there will only be at least 6 days to go for the Kickstarter. They only need about $600,000 to get their goal, and their current pledge as of when we're doing this podcast is $467,319. And it's really, really good. Like, you know, we're talking about the concepts, they're talking about the gameplay, and, you know, it is an iOS game, you know, and it's, you know, it's going to be, it's quite an interesting, you know, kind of development. And again, like, Playdeck develops Lords of Waterdeep, and they are a great iOS developer. Like, they've been primarily doing a lot of board game ports. They also did Agricola, and they also did Ascension on iOS. And
can I stop you for a second?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me stop you. Okay, so they're an excellent iOS developer. Does that mean, do they abuse microtransactions, or do they even use them?
No, not at all. Not a single one of their... Okay. Like, Lords of Waterdeep does not use a single microtransaction at all. In fact, I was hoping that they would actually have, like, a place to buy the newly released Lords of Waterdeep expansion last year. You know, because, you know, I've been into board games a lot recently. And Lords of Waterdeep is one of those games that I'll probably purchase later down the line. But they released an expansion pack for Lords of Waterdeep last year, which actually is actually contains two expansions. You know, and nobody's ever done this before, and it makes it really interesting. So I'm hoping that they'll patch the game so that you can actually buy those expansions in there, because Lords of Waterdeep is pretty addicting.
Okay, I may have to actually buy the actual fucking game too, the board game, because I play board games too. So.
Yeah, they do have a tabletop episode with Will Wheaton that Clayton, where they're like actually playing the game. It's actually really, really fun.
Okay. he got me sold on both versions, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, and you know, excuse me, a burp. I'm really critical of Dungeons & Dragons because, you know, like, it takes a certain amount of Dungeons & Dragons game to kind of reel me in, you know? Like, and but this one, playing as one of the Lords of Waterdeep is kind of, like, really fun, like, really fascinating and really kind of fun, you know? So.
Dude, that reminds me, remember one of my biggest... Okay, so I want to refresh people on that. If you go back to Season 1 of the old Game of Horizon, I used to whine and dream, Alex, why can't they release Dungeons & Dragons, the arcade game? I just gotta say, it did happen.
Right, right. Of course it did happen.
It did happen.
Right.
So there you go.
So there's that. That's pretty much it. Like, Lords of Waterdeep is a fun game. Don't play the AI. The easy AI is cheap as shit. The only time that I've won against the AI is by tying with it. That's crazy.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow, you have nothing to say about that. Okay.
Well, no, because you know why I don't have anything to say to that? Because I'm from the NES days, and how many times have I been fucked by cheap AI?
But this is supposed to be easy. This AI is supposed to be easy. But, you know, for what I'm seeing, like, you know, he's completely, like, quests, like, left and right. I'm like, holy crap. What in the world? You know? It's nuts. It's like the game encourages you to be an asshole.
So. Lords of Waterdeep, then.
Mm-hmm. $6.99. It's on iOS. Not sure if it's on Android, but either way, like, if you want to play against me... it's, you know, Playdeck has their own kind of account thing. It's called, my username on there is Eternity in Black, which is the same as my PSN and the same as my Xbox Live, which is the same as my game center name. So go figure. So, right.
Exactly.
Right. So,
exactly. And Waterdeep is a pretty cool place if you actually research it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've researched a little bit, a teensy bit about it. So, but.
Yeah, there's cool stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, so anyways, we are here to talk about some crazy things happening in the game industry, though. Like, I think the best way to do this is we kind of need to lump these both together. Apparently, Sony posted some losses, and Nintendo posted some losses. And Nintendo's is, I think, the worst one, because Nintendo... I think Satoru Iwata is basically taking half pay up until June. Am I correct? Look at you and your shitty internet, like, affecting our podcast.
Ah, shit. Is this better?
Okay, yeah, it sounds better now.
Okay. So, I do remember that hit happened. I do remember hearing that he did take half day. So, you said the summer, right? June?
I think so, yeah.
Damn. And then Kaz Hirai's not in a good situation either. His credibility's hurting with a $1.1 billion loss forecast, too.
Really?
Oh. Yep.
That's really weird. That's really weird because the PS4, like, sold out, and it's still sold out.
Well, listen to this. As losses mount, Sony could cut 5,000 jobs and pull out of the PC.
That's fine. I mean, Vios are kind of overpriced. You know, PCs anyway, which, you know, a lot of people are going for Dells or custom-built PCs, you know, so.
Pretty much, and then you live in an age of tablets.
Yeah. I mean, tablets have their own use. They're mostly for gaming, in my opinion, still. There are uses for other industries, but yeah, I mean, BIOS wouldn't be the first choice, you know, in terms of, like, if I was buying a PC. Even now that I'm more Mac-centric, even back then when I was, like, you know, when I was on PC and stuff, BIOS would never be, like, my first choice as far as that goes. It would probably be, like, either Dell, Alienware, or Lenovo.
Okay. So you would take those?
Yes. Absolutely.
Although we know in reality you are an Apple Macintosh.
Yeah, I mean, from what I can hear you say, yes. I mean, I'm more of a Mac guy anyway, so, you know.
I'm gonna give this to you, okay? I'm gonna ask your opinion of that, okay?
Okay.
So, who overrides the helmet?
You know, right now, because your internet is so shitty, you sound like you're auto-tuned.
Okay, I sound like a very Mexican warehouse.
It's really odd. It's really, really strange. I can't really describe it. The best way that I can describe it is you sound like you're auto-tuned.
Okay. Well, that won't be the case next week. But anyway, let's continue talking on this week, which includes Kazuo Hirai, who took the helm at Sony Corp 2 years ago to revive the Japanese icon, is losing credibility with investors that he's up to. The chief executive officer pledged when he came in to turn around Sony's failing consumer electronics business and generate a profit at the television unit after $7 billion in losses. Instead, the TV business will lose money for a 10th straight year, and he's forecasting a $1.1 billion annual loss. Oof. Your opinion on that?
Well, this is more a Sony-centric, like, as a business conversation. Okay. I'm not the person to ask as far as that goes, because I haven't really been a Sony fan in terms of their merchant, in terms of anything else other than the Sony PlayStation. I mean, yeah, my last TV is a Bravia, but I haven't bought a TV since, and even then I'm considering getting like a Vizio for my next TV, you know? Like it's gotten to a point where appliances and electronics, you know, it doesn't have to be ubiquitous with a brand. Maybe that's just me, like, growing up and stuff, you know? But if it's able to display something really cool, awesome. If it's, you know, I don't need to pay. Like, the only reason why I buy Apple is because it's the only, like, PCs, you know, or computers that I can't break. Like, literally, when I make a PC and stuff, I destroy that, you know, motherfucker. Like, it won't survive, like, past 2 years. But, you know, but that's just me, you know? But as far as Sony goes, like, it sucks, but they're a bloated company anyway. They have too many divisions, and a lot of them are vying and competing for revenue. So that's a big problem with the Sony infrastructure right now anyway. So
I think you told me this a long time ago, 2 years ago to be exact, when Kaz did, I think we talked about as becoming the CEO, correct?
Right.
Okay. So when that happened, if I, you know, recall, you were saying that they were basically kind of internal competition type thing. And you said it's basically the same problem.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, in order, like, let's say, here's a good example, right? So let's say, you know, Sony decides we want to pack in a game with the PlayStation 4. Or a movie, I'm sorry. And they talk to Sony Pictures or, you know, Sony Home Video, and they try to get it. Now, the thing is, Sony Home Video will be like, well, what's in it for us? And, you know, like, they'll want some revenue share, which is really weird because within the company, there are internal companies, and they're all kind of struggling to survive. And I feel like, you know, and one company that's been doing really well in terms of, like, just understanding the importance of being a one company is both Apple and Disney. Disney doesn't care if they lose money in one division because the whole company makes money anyway. They lose a little bit, so they have to tweak it to make money, but, you know, and make some changes. But the entire company goes up or the entire company goes down. It's never a division of that does better than the other because that just doesn't make sense. If you're all working under one umbrella, wouldn't you want the entire company to be successful? You know? So, I think that's just like an old world kind of way of thinking for corporations, you know? And it worked back then when there were no, like, you know, there were no checks and balances in terms of, like, you know, how businesses are run and accounting and whatnot. But we've gotten a lot more stricter when it comes to that. And I think, like, you know, just all of these things that they're realizing is kind of like, you know, it's been a long time coming, you know, and more power to them for them offloading their Vio business. If anything, they need to restructure the way that they do business within themselves.
Yeah. Well, to go into that real quick about the Vio, it says they announced yesterday that they are, which is the fifth, this is the sixth we're recording this on, they are selling the personal computer unit, the Vio, mm-hmm. cutting 5,000 jobs and splitting the TV business into a separate subsidiary. Now, what do you make of those decisions? Because I think you know, it's going to suck for 5,000 more jobs. That, I mean, a lot of people, that's never good when people lose their jobs.
But they have to shed it anyway. They need to shed it.
Yeah,
because they have to focus on some of their core businesses, which they did last year. The problem is the PC side still kind of hung in there. And I'm like, but there's nothing really, like, you know, on the PC that they can do unless they make really cheap stuff, which, you know, they're a brand. They're a brand. They're not going to, like, make cheap stuff. You know, if anything, they have a lot of advances in terms of TV. And again, the Sony PlayStation brand is their strong brand. The problem is that they also have these other brands that kind of exist within the company, like, you know, film and TV and all that stuff. It's kind of like, okay, so why are these not making money for you again?
Yeah, they need to cut a bunch more brands. And that's actually a question I wonder. I don't think you have the answer to it. But cutting 5,000 more jobs, is that from them losing the computer business, or is that from somewhere else? Or is that going to be
Likely that. But even then, if you think about, you know, like the movements that they're doing and stuff, it's like maybe their company is too big for what they're supposed to be. You know, I mean, if you're looking at something like, you know, like Disney or Apple and stuff, they could perform really well with like such a small and nimble set of people, you know, and still make a lot of money. And I think that there needs to be a paradigm shift still in Sony that needs to happen, where they need to adapt to the current market conditions. And I think they're doing it very slowly, but it's not happening fast enough, which is why they lost so much money.
They need to do it quick. And I think, you know, there's just a lot of markets where they need to cut down. I mean, you know, fuck, what do they? They make MP3 players, correct? I would assume.
They still do, yes.
They still do. I mean, fuck, they basically created the father of that. Well, kind of the Walkman, but, you know, to be honest, you know, I think that's something they could shed and not worry about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like MP3 players, I think, you know, because there's so many MP3 different MP3 manufacturers, even cheapo brands that you can get. And I think people choose the cheapo brands over, say, Sony, correct?
Well, more importantly, Android and phones in general are taking over that usage. Like, you know, if you want an MP3 player, you could just get a phone because it plays it. It plays it just fine. You don't need...
I know that firsthand.
You don't need an MP3 player. You don't need a specific device that does just that. And even then, Apple's got that covered. You know, like, their iPod line is still really popular. They're not talking about it a lot, but they're still really popular.
I know that firsthand because I do use my iPhone 5 as my primary music.
Right.
So, there you go. I'm an example of that. Now, before we move on to Nintendo, what do you think of the splitting the TV business into a separate subsidiary? I'll be honest, I'm not a busy business savvy guy, so what does that mean exactly?
That means that they're probably making, maybe what they're doing is they're making it into a new business, you know, like maybe it'll be Sony TV or something like that. I'm not really quite sure. I mean, you know, it's, I think all of these are part of like Sony, the umbrella as a whole. Maybe like Sony Pictures is a separate entity. Maybe Sony Music is a separate entity. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. I'm not really quite sure, but whatever it is, all I hope for is like that it succeeds.
I hope so too. And what I can tell you is that Kaz Hirai, the other shareholders, are going to give him by next year to try to fix this. And if not, they're going to question his management, which means they're probably going to vote him out.
Well, this is more, again, this is more like a business end, and I don't want this, you know, this dominated by, like, business talk, because I don't have stocks in anything. I'm not a businessman whatsoever. Either. So let's go to Nintendo, because that's more important, because you have had, this is a big deal to you.
It is, and here, I'm going to state my Nintendo opinion. Let's get that. I know, well, not know for that, because my opinion is not that, but I believe, without doubt, that Nintendo still produces a quality fucking product. There's no doubt with that, right? you know, the last, you know, three main games that I played, and the one game I neglected to mention was Super Mario 3D World. The last year, specifically for the 3DS, and even kind of ending in the bang with the Wii U, has been pretty phenomenal in terms of Nintendo's product being quality. We have Pokemon X and Y. And I'll be honest, I have told Alex many times that I was a guy burnt out on Pokemon. I remember when they announced Black and White 2 that we talked about it, I told them I was going to skip it, which I did. But X and Y was the revitalization that series needed. The new Zelda broke a lot of the rules that Zelda games are known for. Fantastic fucking game. What else? The Super Mario 3D World, one of the best platformers out in the last maybe 5 years. Quality product. However, Nintendo fucks up in a lot of other aspects. Their marketing's not good. The way they fucking push out multiplayer is inconsistent. You look at Pokemon, great on online multiplayer. All the features, fucking fantastic. Then you look at another game that you would expect to have multiplayer, Super Mario 3D World, which is a great game in its right, but it doesn't have it. So Nintendo seems like they're confused. I think you agree with that.
They always have, and I think that I've already talked about this in After Hours, but the biggest problem with Nintendo is that there's not enough confidence in the third parties for them to actually gain support from. I mean, if EA pretty much outright said, we're not going to make any Wii U games, that is huge. Remember when the last time that happened, and it drove Sega out of the hardware business. Now, mind you, Sega had their own sports brand, which is a great brand too. But think about it. They lost EA. And as much as people are like saying that EA is the devil or whatnot, which, you know, to some degree they are. You know, they've made some really poor decisions over the past couple of years in terms of messaging, for that matter. They really need to, you know, they really need to kind of be a lot more third party friendly. And all I've been told is when you deal with Nintendo, they put themselves ahead of everybody else. Which is understandable, but they do it in quite a selfish degree. You know, like, oh, well, our game is coming out here. If you release a game, like, on the same day as our game, we're not going to promote it. And I'm like, really? Like, that's the kind of attitude that you're going to have to people who are using your platform to make you money? Like, that's a terrible attitude, Nintendo, really.
And it sounds like they have not gotten over their attitude since the NES days. Oh, we'll put in a lockout. Remember that bullshit, right?
Well of course,
right? I understand why they did that.
Well, of course not, because they had like the most, you know, the most successful selling like console like in human history, like last generation. Of course they're not going to back down, because they think that all what they've doing over the past several decades, you know, several couple of decades is correct. You know,
how is it correct?
Because they sold consoles. That's all they care about.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, but like I told you many times, whether it's on the podcast or when we're talking, Nintendo started going downhill for me in the N64 days. I mean, for fuck's sakes, N64 days, and it's just. I don't know, man. They're in bad shape, and I'm worried about them. And I think you are too, correct?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'm very critical of Nintendo, I want them to get their head out of their ass and actually like do some really smart business decisions. I mean, in the last segment we were talking about business decisions, but I think universally, if you haven't been a fan of Nintendo for quite a while and you probably jumped over to Sony, there's a reason why you jumped ship, you know? Or when you were like a fan of the GameCube and stuff, you probably thought like, hey, you know, maybe this is like Nintendo coming back. No, like, you know, it's just them trying to be stubborn and try to do the same thing. And they keep on thinking like, well, maybe if we release more handhelds and more of the same thing, like, and maybe tweak it a little bit, maybe people will keep buying it. The West is not that fickle of a crowd, and your audience is going to grow up. You can't rely on that. This is not like Nintendo is not like Disney. And even then, Disney manages to reinvent themselves every single year. And the reason why Disney reinvents itself every single year is because they know that innovation is really important. So they have to invest in new technology. And that's something that Nintendo does not do. They invest in older technology.
And here's one thing I think Nintendo fucked up. They have this little studio called Retro. Now, here's my thing with Retro. The thing with Retro you got to understand is that it seems like they're not utilizing like they should. You go back to the GameCube days, and it seemed like they were on the path of growing up. They have this game called Metroid Prime, right? Fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But what did they use Retro for? To develop Donkey Kong Country games. You have a good, viable Western developer that you fucking own, but you use it to develop Donkey Kong Country games?
And mind you, they...
And I'm not saying those games are bad.
And mind you, they have really good, like, Western sensibilities, because, of course, they're in the West, you know what I mean? Next Level Games, which they just recently had, like, a partnership with, is doing the exact same thing. But, you know, make these guys develop new IPs that are Western-friendly. You can't live on Yoshi and Mario and Pokemon alone.
No, you cannot. You cannot. I mean, keep those franchises alive, but you're absolutely right. Or westernize some of your franchises, such as Metroid, which, if you look at Prime, is a totally westernized game, but still adheres to the spirit of Metroid.
Like, what is it? The newest character Nintendo's ever made in the past generation was the Mii?
I don't even consider the Mii a character. It's just an avatar.
Yeah.
So, I really, you know, their brands are great, but I agree. They need new IPs. They need new IPs. And that's where Sony is kicking everyone's ass. Because Sony's very good at coming with new IPs. And they're even rebooting one of their IPs, Uncharted, right? So there you go.
Well, that's a rumor, but yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Well, Last of Us is that not a new IP? Just, you know.
Well, you said something about like them rebooting like Uncharted, and I'm like, I didn't hear anything about that.
Oh yeah, no, I heard that. You know, like Last of Us, that's a new IP, and Sony took a risk with that. Wouldn't you say that's a good new IP?
Yeah, Sony's investing a lot of new IPs and stuff, and that's really smart.
And Microsoft kind of minimalizing it with just Gears of War.
Well, yeah.
We
will definitely save that later for like a much more intense conversation or maybe a future Magus rant. And you're not answering me on that.
I think I will rant about Microsoft now. Okay. No. I will rant about Microsoft. I will rant about Microsoft.
Okay.
Microsoft has it coming. So.
Alrighty. Well, that about does it for this episode of the Social Link Podcast. Be sure to email us at sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. Make sure you address me and Anthony in the email. And, of course, please, like, visit the Gamer Horizon website at gamerhorizon.com. We're just waiting for you to visit and comment and stuff. And please, please, please convince Anthony to get, like, a worthwhile microphone, because this is what you have to deal with every single week moving forward now. So, auto-tuned Anthony is the name of the game. So, did you want to plug your other podcast?
Well, this will be... real quick, this will be the last week of the shitty mic. So, there you go.
Hopefully.
This will be the first and only... Yeah, it'll be the first and only appearance of this shit-tastic mic.
We will see.
Not hopefully. It'll be a fact. Trust me. So, there we go. Like I was talking about, we don't have anything set up yet, but keep an eye on this podcast, my YouTube channel, for more information about Lid Off the Long Box. So,
you want to say what your YouTube channel is in case people haven't visited it?
Yes. MagusX1 at youtube.com. I have changed the focus of my channel.
What?
Yeah. You know. Yes. I haven't posted in about a month, but I will.
That's
be posted
not what you type in the fucking web URL, like web browser URL, like to get to your channel. That's not.
YouTube.com. Okay, is it youtube.com/user/megatex1?
You don't have to add user, but okay.
Okay, there you go. But it's more of a, you know, personal channel with more personal stories and things like that.
Okay. And of course, you can listen to me as well on the Gamer Horizon After Hours podcast. We do it weekly as well. That's where I basically hang out with the rest of the Gamer Horizon crew, Ari, Ted, Sean, and we talk about games as well, but, you know, in a more free, you know, a little bit more freeform manner and stuff. And that is, you know, the entire editorial crew of the website and stuff. And of course, as always, we're going to be doing the social link every week. We record this every Thursday, so please get all your questions in. Again, the email address is sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. So, any final words, Anthony, before we shut this down?
Nope, I'll see you guys next week with a better mic.
Hopefully. Hopefully with a better mic. I'm a little pessimistic that it's the microphone, but we'll see. So, you want to see, like, what happens with this whole, like, microphone/, internet saga? Stay tuned, subscribe, and we'll talk to you guys later.